There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Toyo Open Country AT3. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
We did it. We did it. We made it to Thursday. It's draft night. We got to get ready for our reactions when our team selects somebody. Having been to the draft a few times, and I was always entertained by the audience when their team was picking and they drafted a center. How do you react when your team takes a center? You're like, Alec Max, California.
Interior.
And the Kansas City Chiefs take Eric Fisher, offensive lineman.
Value pick.
Steady. Leave him there for 10 years. All right.
Priest Holmes, he's a blocker.
The Dolphins take Jake Long.
Find a spot for him. Anchor.
Is it related to Howie Long? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, the reaction, though, when you don't take somebody you know and you're like, I'm hearing good things about him. I am. Because you're on camera and these, you know, draftniks are there going, yeah, we're with our team. And you don't get a wide receiver, quarterback, edge rusher. Like, if you get an edge rusher, it's like, yeah.
Let's get him.
But if you get an offensive tackle whose job is to protect your quarterback, you're not as excited. We love to watch you tackle somebody, not block somebody. Joe Alt, Notre Dame.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
Irish.
Okay, Joe. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Short name.
Yeah.
Serviceable.
So you got to get ready for your reactions tonight, because not everybody's getting a skilled position player. All right. I got a couple of bold state, not bold, and not hot takes, God forbid, but just some strong comments here about the draft. I'll have that for you coming up. All right. Let me do all the preliminaries. Hello, if you're watching on Peacock, thank you. By the way, I didn't disappoint, and you didn't disappoint me either. Dan's Deals, what a reaction last night. Those on the newsletter, you got first dibs, first opportunity. Great items, great price point for every budget there. We've got you taken care of for Mother's Day. Now, just go to danpatrick.com. Your Mother's Day shopping will be done. It can be done today. You can thank me later. You don't have to, but some great deals there, and some people scooped up some things yesterday as well. First hour brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. Express is helping you get a job, not charging you, and they're local. Check out expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. Operator Tyler sitting by, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. Seton poll question for hour one is going to be what?
Well, right now I'm just typing up more likely to trade out of their pick, the Patriots or the Cardinals.
Okay. I'm going to say the Cardinals. This is, okay, I got something for you. Now, I did get a little bit of help. Did get a little bit of help from a source. Said, you wouldn't be, wait, no, he said, you wouldn't be wrong if you said the following, in his opinion, that J.J. McCarthy is not a top five pick. And I said, well, wait a minute. Are you talking about the actuality of him taken in the top five or talent-wise? And he said, both. That he thinks that this is, we created Will Levis last year. Like, remember, he was going to go in the top five. So there's certain players that we create. And maybe there's hype. Jim Harbaugh behind J.J. McCarthy. And his feeling is, while he thinks J.J. McCarthy is going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL at some point, that have we created this J.J. McCarthy buzz? And I said, okay. And he said, another possibility is that, yeah, Brock Bowers, the great tight end at Georgia, that he's the top 10 talent. And although he's going to be viewed sort of as a wide receiver, even though he's a great tight end, that he thinks the Colts might be all in to go up and get Brock Bowers. I said, okay. So those are just some of the thoughts. Also, the Chargers, when this first started, and I said, I'm told they're going offensive linemen. And then all of a sudden we had all of this. They're going to trade out. And, you know, they're going to maybe take Ault from Notre Dame. J.C. Latham is now the latest. We have, let's see, Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. Also, Peter Schrager today from NFL Network. They have Chargers taking an offensive lineman. You know, Jim Harbaugh is going to do old school. Like, he's not a fancy guy. He's going to get back to blocking, tackling, and if you need a big play, then, you know, Justin Herbert's going to hopefully help you out there. That's what Jim does. That's how he's built his teams everywhere. San Diego, Stanford, Niners, Michigan, and now back to the NFL. But these are just some of the things. Now, granted, this is one person's opinion, somebody who I trust, who's saying Jim Harbaugh helped create J.J. McCarthy. That really good quarterback at Michigan, but is he a top five pick? And I said, okay. So I'm thinking about if I said the over-under for J.J. McCarthy is 5.5 right now, what would you take? Is anybody taking the under on J.J. McCarthy? Seton?
And saying he'll go later then?
No, you think he'll go inside the top five?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Okay.
No.
Anybody think? Because I was also, you know, I ask about this with the Giants. The Giants keep telling us they're taking a quarterback, right? Have you heard the Giants are taking anybody else? But, yeah, you know what? If they really like Drake May and they really like J.J. McCarthy, hey, what if Penix, if they could, you know, somehow get, I was like, okay. So I never trust somebody if they tell you what they're going to do. And the Giants keep saying they're going to take quarterback. What if they don't? What if they go, we were taking wide receiver all along here, or offensive lineman here? So those are a couple of observations from somebody who I trust, who was telling me this morning. Because I said, there's no real buzz here. There's nothing happening yet. And his thought was, he sees Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May. The Cardinals probably take Marvin Harrison. The Chargers take an offensive lineman. Then he said, you know, the Giants might take a wide receiver. Then it gets a little more interesting. 7, 8, 9, 10 gets a little more interesting. Where's Michael Penix? Bo Nix? Does Denver wait? You know, so there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes. You know, does J.J. McCarthy just drop down to the Vikings that they don't have to trade? So these are just some of the things that are at least being discussed with no agenda attached to this because my source, you know, he doesn't have an agenda with this. He just says, hey, sometimes I'm right, sometimes I'm wrong. But these are things that, you know, he's been at the combine. He's been in these interview rooms. So he knows what's going on with a lot of these draft picks. And also the tendencies for GMs, because that's another thing. If you have certain GMs who like to trade down, you know, the Eagles may be trading up. You know, just tendencies that you have. Patriots trade down. You know, the Raiders with that GM. Is he going to trade down? Yeah, Paulie.
It's really interesting the way the draft sets up. The second hour of the draft could be more interesting than the first hour. Minnesota's at 11. Denver's at 12. Las Vegas at 13. All three of those reportedly want quarterbacks. Who sits and waits? So it's interesting that the second hour could be fun.
Yeah, and that's how this was presented. Because you have campaigns. You have agents involved. Agents, the media gobbles it up. The media wants information. All of a sudden, somebody says, hey, you know what I'm hearing? Great. I can. I got new content here. And look, I've said this before with the Chargers. I thought Brock Bowers made, you know, because they lost their wide receivers. Do they go after Brock Bowers? Well, he's not your typical tight end. He's a tight end that can get down the field. I don't know if Jim Harbaugh wants a George Kittle type who can run, or he can block, but he can also catch and run. Not that there are a lot of George Kittles, but you got Sam Laporta, you know, out of Iowa last year in the second round, I believe. And that's another thing that I was told this morning. Man, I'm out of breath because he gave me so much information. He said, you know, teams build, you know, 2 through 7. Like, first round is great. You can't miss on that. But 2 through 7 is where you build a roster. And if you look at what some of these teams, you know, did last year, when you're looking at these picks and you're going, so the league's 4 highest paid wide receivers, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, they were selected day 2 or later. Travis Kelce, George Kittle, Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, they weren't selected in the first round. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, they were selected in round 2. So as much attention as we give the first round, certainly the quarterbacks, you're going to build your roster and you're going to look back and say, where'd they draft that guy? Where'd they get him? And then chances are it won't be in the first round. But just some information here to start off your day. Got a long day ahead of us. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Had some basketball last night. We'll recap that in a little greater detail. The draft starts at 8 Eastern tonight. But Heat beat the Celtics last night. Thunder roll the Pelicans. Tonight, Cavs, Magic, Knicks, 76ers, Nuggets, and the Lakers. Seton, what do we have today?
Here's another one for you. Wide receiver more likely to be traded today.
Ooh.
Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins?
I'm going to say neither, because I think maybe after the draft. Because if teams go, hey, if we get that guy, then we're not interested. But if we don't get that guy, then, all right, what are we giving up for Brandon Ayuk or T. Higgins? So I would say neither gets traded. Maybe after the draft, maybe over the weekend or next week. Yes, Paul.
To sauce that poll up, can we add Justin Jefferson and Davante Adams?
Heck yeah.
Whilst unlikely, possible.
I would say neither. I don't think anybody's getting traded yet. T. Higgins wants out, and Brandon Ayuk, I think, wants out as well. Although the Niners say, hey, we want to keep you. But if you're interested, how about a first-round draft pick?
But of the two, which one would be more likely, even if you don't think either one of them is going to happen?
You're pressing me.
Yes, now I am.
Okay.
I want you to answer the question.
Answer the question! I want the truth!
It's a legendary scene, isn't it?
I just watched that movie about 2 weeks ago.
Did he overact in that scene?
Who?
Nicholson.
No.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tom Cruise.
Well, I was going to say that, too.
And it turns out that's kind of his move.
Tom Cruise?
Overacting, yeah.
It felt like he was trying to keep up with Nicholson.
Right.
Because Jack just has that, where Tom doesn't. So I think Tom had to kind of Nicholson the scene a little bit.
It's weird. Tom Cruise made an unbelievable career out of being a semi-charming wise-ass in every movie. That's essentially who he is.
And a guy who runs in every movie.
Every movie
he's
he has
gotta
to
run.
He's
got
his own stunts.
Thank you, Todd.
Damn right I did.
I think people think that's a classic scene. I think they think Cruise killed that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, like.
Yeah, Kevin, I think they think he did.
Yes,
yeah.
But as an actor.
Right.
Like as an actor
sure.
Watching it.
You should go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Rewatching movies now is funny.
Well,
the credits in the beginning of that movie take about 15 minutes to end. Mm-hmm. Remember when that was a thing in movies?
Oh,
the
yeah.
Credits would be the beginning. It's the first 15 minutes of the movie. You're still like, cinematography, Jimmy Lippert. Oh, my God. They're still doing it.
I thought it was always at the end of the movie.
Yeah, no. It's back in the like 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
It was the whole beginning of the movie.
I think A Few Good Men holds up. Like, if someone watched it now for the first time, I think they would think it's a good movie.
Yeah.
A very good movie.
Yeah. We still use the expression code red. We just did that with the Celtics and the Heat.
That was code red.
Yeah, Brian Scalabrine said that they ordered a code red on Jason Tatum.
I eat my breakfast 100 yards from men trained to kill me. You cannot possibly fathom the responsibility.
Yes, Martin.
Should I watch A Few Good Men?
Oh, my God. Now, leave. Go and watch it.
Hal? Hal?
And Demi Moore. She Hal? Made me want to enlist.
Demi Moore, absolutely.
Oh, I'll sign up for war.
Because he had no code.
Yeah.
You know who's still great in that movie, though? His performance is phenomenal. Spotless.
I don't know his name.
You do, though. He plays a minor role, but he's fantastic in it. He's just such a slimy...
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. He's so good in that.
I thought you were going to talk about the other attorney working with Demi Moore.
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak.
And Kevin Bacon's in it as well.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he was good. Anywho.
We
get sidetracked again.
Nobody covers the draft.
Nobody gets sidetracked the way we do. All right, let me take a break, settle on a poll question. Got a busy 2.5 hours here, and we'll keep an eye on things. We got, let's see, who do we have? Oh, Trevor Sikkema. This dude is great. Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst. He tells me something new every single time he's on. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. He just released his mock draft, and by putting J.C. Latham, offensive lineman with the Chargers, he changed the odds. He actually affected the betting odds, and certainly with the Chargers. So that's the kind of input. And isn't he a radio analyst for the Chargers, Todd?
Sure is.
Mm-hmm. All right, just getting started. And we'll take a break back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the, I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know what I mean? Even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. We'll check in with the lead draft analyst from Pro Football Focus, Trevor Sikkema. He'll join us coming up here momentarily. We've been doing draft comps, as we always do at this time. NFL.com has draft comps. So we've had Michael Penix Jr., Ladd McConkey. We've had Brock Bowers, Michael Penix. Anybody else that we have?
I'm going to give you guys a real easy one.
Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. III.
Right. I'm going to give the entire room one guess on this one. Okay. This is a very easy one. Malik Nabers, LSU wide receiver. His player comp is... Go simple.
Okay. His player comp is Marvin Harrison Jr.
It's Justin Jefferson, oh! also out of LSU.
Yeah. Okay. Could have gone Jamar Chase there, too, I guess. You look at these teams, like Texas and LSU had some wide receivers. And that's where it's always difficult. Like Alabama, when you're assessing quarterbacks, you're like, I don't know how good he is. Because those wide receivers were really good. How about a Caleb Williams draft comp?
He hadn't done that yet.
Okay.
All right. Caleb Williams of USC. He's listed at just under 6'1", 214.
Oh, so he's under 6'1".
Yeah, there's my hint.
Too short?
Player comp from Lance Zierlein at NFL.com.
Russell Wilson.
No.
Todd.
Steve Young. He's mobile. Can run.
Are you listening?
Yes, I'm going with Steve Young.
Okay. Short was the hint. Marvin.
Drew Brees.
No, but I see where you're going there.
Oh, that's solid.
More modern.
Yeah. Seton?
We already said Russell?
Yeah.
Think shorter.
Short. It's not Kyler Murray?
Kyler Murray's correct.
Oh, that's a good one, Dan.
Thank you. Bloop, bloop.
That's a good one. Kyler, that's right in front of our faces.
It was. In your face.
In front of our crummy
in
faces.
In your face. Trevor Sikkema, he is really smart. He's going to prove it. I'm putting pressure on him. NFL draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, their lead draft analyst. And you can go and watch there and listen to and assess their mock draft. Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator. Go to pff.com/mock. Trevor Sikkema joining us on the program. All right. If you had to pick a quarterback who wasn't going to work out, who would it be?
We're starting off with an absolute fastball here. That's good. By the way, I forgot to do this because I was excited last time that I was on, but 5'11", 170. Just had to say that.
Right.
A quarterback that I think wouldn't work out. I'm a little worried about Jaden Daniels. I am. I think that there is an infatuation with what he can do as a runner, but it's not exactly what every running quarterback brings to the table, right? First and foremost, I think he has to protect himself, right? If you're going to make the most out of that rushing ability with him, you've got to be able to protect yourself a lot better than how he protected himself, even last year. I mean, it's like this guy was on a WWE highlight film getting thrown off of a cage sometimes when he was running and scrambling for first downs, and it's just not going to work at the NFL level. We've even seen that with guys like Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have to protect themselves a little bit more. And so I'm a little bit worried about that with the durability. And then I think with Daniels, his offense at LSU was a lot of throws outside the numbers to the sideline. And that can still exist at the NFL level. But when you look at how you really have a ton of success in this league, you've got to be able to make defenses defend every blade of grass, if you will. That includes over the middle of the field. And he just does not do that a lot. There's only been 30 passing attempts that he has over the middle of the field out of the 400 that he attempted last year. He just doesn't do it very often. So that's something that he's going to have to kind of learn how to do to really become that worthy number two overall pick, as we kind of assume that he's going to be that number two overall pick to Washington. And then I think the scrambling ability too. A lot of people look at him and say, oh, look at how athletic he is. Look at how good of a rusher he is. He's going to be this great scrambling on the run type of quarterback. He doesn't do it very often. In fact, he had less than half the attempts on the run outside of the pocket last year than even Michael Penix Jr. did. And Michael Penix Jr. is known as this pocket between the tackles type of a quarterback. And he had more than double the scrambling throws that Jaden Daniels had. So I like Daniels a lot, but it feels as though we're looking at some of his natural gifts and just thinking that he's already there in terms of making those types of plays at the NFL level. And those are still things that he has to get better and even evolve at in order for him to really be that caliber of a quarterback at the pro level.
For not expecting a fastball, you turned on it pretty well there, Trev. Just saying.
That's
well,
good.
Well
That's
done.
Good. That's good.
Least doubt about what quarterback?
I think Caleb has to be the answer here, right? I mean, I look at these other quarterbacks in this class, and there's a reason why he is the number one overall pick. Now, I get it. It's not like he's a perfect prospect, but look at Trevor Lawrence. I mean, when he was coming out in his class, we felt like he was the perfect prospect, and yet there are still things that he has struggled with and needed to get better with at the NFL level. And so why not look at Caleb Williams and just look at the unbelievable arm talent, instincts, you know, backyard playmaking ability, how he can play outside of structure, how he deals with pressure, how he can become that Superman every single play. I know some people look at that Superman complex as a little bit of a negative there from him, but that is also what gives me the most confidence that he can make it in this league, right? I think safe part of that question is tough to answer because I could tell you guys that could be backups in this league for 10 years, but they're not going to perform at the level that a Caleb Williams or even a Drake May, a Jaden Daniels, a J.J. McCarthy are asked, or demanded, I should say, to perform at. And I think that Caleb gives me the most faith that he's going to be able to do that. When you look at the plays within structure, where he wasn't moved or pressured, that time to throw average, it's normal. It's like 2.61. It's the same as every other quarterback out there. In fact, it's a little quicker than it is with some of these guys. It's those Superman plays where he got out of the pocket, and I felt like in the back of his head, he says, ooh, if I don't score 50 today, my team ain't winning. And I think that it's hopefully going to be a little bit better for him at the NFL level. And just so the overall talent, the playmaking ability, he's number one on my big board. He's been number one wire to wire for a reason. I've got to go with Caleb Williams.
All right, let's go at positional value. If I said you can have the best tight end or the best wide receiver, but we're looking at positional value, why is it that Brock Bowers is maybe going to be 10th? Whereas Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers, they're going to be taken ahead of him. If Brock Bowers is a generational talent, then doesn't make sense. I can pay him less with his position than I can these wide receivers.
Yeah, and I think that that's obviously a lot of parts of the conversation that you're having of where do you draft a tight end. You know, we had this conversation with Kyle Pitts as well because he's sort of that guy that you looked at and you're like, all right, well, he's not a traditional tight end. You're not going to play him in line a ton. And that's the same story with Brock Bowers. You know, he's 6'4", 240 pounds, right? He's not going to sit on the line of scrimmage and you're not going to ask him to block 5 technique, 6 technique defensive ends. Like, it's just not going to happen. So in reality, you're projecting him more. The value that you're going to get for him, that return on investment, is going to come as a wide receiver. And even if I were to look at Brock Bowers in this class, I would probably stack him up as wide receiver 3 or 4, right? So where he's getting drafted around or sometimes even a little bit behind Romo Dunze as that wide receiver 3, to me, that's right in line. Like, to me, that's right in line with the value that he's going to bring you for your team. I think that Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers specifically, those wide receivers to your question, they just naturally get involved in the offense more. Now, that doesn't take too much away from what Bowers did because we saw at Georgia, he was an ultimate weapon for them, especially after the catch. But I think that when you're stacking him up specifically against these really good wide receivers at the top of the class, those guys win more individually through their separation and their routes than Bowers does. Yeah. Bowers was a big contested catch, yards after catch type of a tight end slash receiver, whatever you wanted to call him at Georgia. That's still going to work at the NFL level. But the NFL, it's bigger, faster, stronger everywhere. So just naturally, a lot of those opportunities to have those contested catches, to get those yards after catch, even though they're going to be there, it's not going to be as much. Whereas Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, even Romo Dunze, those guys are, I think, winning more one-on-ones with more nuance, with better route running. You could play them on the outside. You could play them in the slot just like you could with Bowers. And I've got more faith that they're winning more individually. So that, to me, is how we got to this point where even if you stack Bowers up as a wide receiver, he'd be wide receiver 3 or 4 in this class. But the financial part of it, obviously, you mentioned, is the interesting conversation, because if you draft him in the top 10 as a tight end, he automatically becomes like a top 10 tight end in the NFL for his contract and how much guaranteed money he's going to get with the rookie wage scale. But if you're saying that he is a wide receiver, well, all of a sudden it's a bargain if he works out. But even with that being the case, I still think that's where he would rank and stack up with those receivers.
Trevor Sikkema is the Pro Football Focus lead draft analyst joining us on the program. If Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, and Joe Burrow were all available tonight, your selection would be?
So I'm trying to take only what I thought of these guys in college into consideration.
That's right.
Because I've actually had this conversation with some friends over the last couple of days is who you'd take. And sometimes we've gone back and we put Andrew Luck in this conversation as well. I think that you could probably throw him and RG3 from that draft and give you a solid 5 to choose from. But just remembering these players as prospects, I would have been taking Trevor Lawrence from what I thought of him coming out of Clemson. He would have been my choice there. And I think that it really would have been a toss up after that between kind of what your preference is, right? Because Burrow is a different type of quarterback than Caleb Williams. I feel as though I maybe would have leaned Burrow with him coming out of college, but I try to put myself in my shoes a couple of years ago and think, man, Burrow's season was unbelievable. But it was a one-year wonder with him at LSU. It's not like we had all of these years with the Cincinnati Bengals for him to have solidified that that was going to be the quarterback that he was going to be. So I think I lean Burrow from what I thought of him after that 2021 season. But what Caleb has been able to do over the last couple of years, that might have weighed more to me. So pretty confident I would have taken Trevor Lawrence over these guys as who they were as prospects. But I think it's a pretty close debate after that.
I don't know what the philosophy is. I guess it depends on the team, but it feels like maybe the Patriots learned from Mac Jones that we do need to have a pretty good team around him. Maybe the Bears learned that with Justin Fields. Let's build a pretty good team, then get our quarterback, as opposed to get our quarterback and then build around him. And that's what I wonder what the Patriots do with 3.
I hear what you're saying, because obviously it makes sense, right? What comes first, the quarterback or the egg, right? I mean, like, that's the phrase that everybody kind of combines, and that you wonder, is it worth it to draft the quarterback early if you have the opportunity, knowing that you might waste a couple of years of their rookie contract because you got to build out the rest of the team. I still think if you have an opportunity to take a quarterback that you think will be this difference maker for you, you do it. You just don't get this many opportunities, even for a team that believes that they're in a multi-year rebuild. Just doesn't happen very often. And I mean, the Houston Texans last year are a perfect example. Sometimes it just takes a new head coach and one new quarterback to make all the difference in the world, and boom, the acceleration of the rebuild is faster than you ever thought it could be. So I think the stories like that give these teams faith that when they have the opportunity to take a quarterback, they will take one. And for the Patriots, we have talked a lot about them potentially trading down for the exact reasons that you brought up. They could draft a really good offensive lineman in this class. They could get a surefire wide receiver 1. You know, you can build out the rest of that team before you go and get that quarterback and not have to throw them to the wolves, if you will. But to me, it still doesn't make sense with where this team is. And you brought up the Mac Jones example, and I do think that that's a little bit of a, hey, did we kind of jump the gun here? The team wasn't really good. Mac wasn't really able to elevate. But I also think that the Mac Jones example is a louder voice for, we have to get better at quarterback. Just straight up, for our fan base and our franchise alone, I think that's a big reason why you're going to see a quarterback, no matter what, for them at number 3 overall. I would be shocked if they traded the number 3 overall pick. I really, really would.
Great stuff. Good to talk to you again. Have fun tonight. Thank you, Trevor.
Appreciate it, DP. Anytime.
That's Trevor Sikkema. I told you he'd have some information. You know, the Jaden Daniels part of that I found really interesting. That, you know, his throws. A lot of times when you watch college and, you know, Oklahoma and Alabama always came to mind. I was like, are these quarterbacks as good as we think they are? Because you're playing in a system, you got great wide receivers or great offensive line, offensive-minded head coach in Lincoln Riley, and you're just trying to understand this. Because I don't know if people looked at Jaden Daniels this way when he was at Arizona State, and things didn't end well there, and then he goes to LSU, and then he has this Joe Burrow-like season. So the sample size is the 1 year that he was unbelievable at LSU while he was exciting at Arizona State. I don't know if people projected him to even be a first-round draft pick, second-round draft. It's weird how you can elevate your game. And a lot of times you elevate your game because people now see you. Because there can be a defensive back at Toledo who might be an all-pro. But unless you watch Maction, then you probably have no idea. So that person's going to be like, oh, wow, where'd this guy come from? Well, the people who scout, he's been there. We'll talk to our good buddy Daniel Jeremiah. He had his final mock draft that came out this morning, and it's got some people talking, so he'll join us coming up a little bit later on.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You can trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you can also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like Digging for Treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Daniel Jeremiah set to join us. He's a host of Move the Sticks podcast, NFL Network analyst, former front office executive. And he dropped his final mock draft today, and he'll be on the call with the draft tonight with Rich Eisen at 8 Eastern on NFL Network. We're going to do this together, Daniel. Paulie has a draft comp, NFL.com, for Bo Nix. Now, I'm going to let you have the first guess. Player comp, Bo Nix, current or former player for Bo Nix is who?
Okay. My comp form was Tua, was a right-handed Tua. So that was my comp form.
Whoa. Okay. So he's got Tua. Todd, what about you? The player comp for Bo Nix.
I'm going to say...
You weren't ready for this question.
I was not, but I'm gonna. But I'm gonna. I'm gonna.
Seton, say, I'm gonna go to you,
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton.
Ooh,
Andy
Dalton. Nice. I like that.
Okay, yep. Marvin.
I like that one.
I don't know.
Weren't you ready for the? Is anybody listening around here?
I am.
Berline.
No, I was gonna say like Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
Oh, okay.
Paul.
I know it, so you got to guess last.
Okay. Let me see. I'm going to go Josh Allen.
Okay. This is from Lance Zierlein, NFL.com's player comp for Bo Nix is Tony Romo.
Whoa!
Wow, Marvin.
Okay, maybe you were listening, Marvin.
Well, that out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was, yeah. You weren't listening, were you?
I was. I got it right.
I know, but it was kind of a desperate Tony Romo pull there. All right. Explain how you do your mock draft.
I do the mock draft off of what I'm hearing. So it's, you know, talking to different people. I always explain it, Dan, when we talk about this, is the top 150 list, how I rank the players, how I stack the players. That's my eyes. That's what I see. That's my opinion of the players. The mock draft is based off of conversations with, you know, NFL teams. It's, you know, who have they worked out with? It's talking to college coaches. I called an offensive line coach for an SEC team last week. I called him. I said, hey, how's it going? He goes, I'm fishing. I go, all right, I'm not going to take too much of your time. Who's called you the like most on your tackle? What team has spent the most time with you? He gave me the team. Boom, there he goes in the mock draft. There was a lot of thought that really.
So you got your Chargers information by calling. Well done, well done. Okay,
right. Hey, right church, wrong pew.
Oh, okay, all right. So maybe you called somebody from Notre Dame.
No, I was thinking SEC.
So oh, SEC.
SEC.
Oh, yeah. SEC. Okay, all right. I don't think J.J. McCarthy's going fourth. I get the feeling that we're going to have three quarterbacks, and then maybe Arizona just says, look, we got Marvin Harrison right in front of us. Unless you blow us away, we got a guy that can help Kyler Murray, and he's the best player in the draft, best receiver in the draft. And then I don't think the Giants are taking a quarterback because it feels like they keep telling us, or their leaks, or they're taking a quarterback. I don't like, why would they tell you what they're going to do? So that's just some of my observations here. That, and what do you think of those?
I absolutely co-sign on all of them.
Okay.
And that's why I've had the same thing going. I believe the Minnesota Vikings and the Giants are going to try, and they're going to keep trying until the pick is in at three to get up for Drake May at three with New England. They're going to keep trying to put more in the pot and really try and pry him out of New England. But if New England sticks and picks at three, and that's Drake May, and those top three quarterbacks are gone, I believe that I think Drake May was the Giants guy. I've never thought of them as the J.J. McCarthy team. And maybe that'll be the surprise, and I'll be glad to be wrong, and it'll be fun TV if they decide to do that. And I think the Minnesota Vikings, all in for Drake May, but comfortable with McCarthy or with Penix. No one, you know, to me, Dan, it helps when you put names with this, right? So I don't want to part with pick 23, and sometimes that doesn't compute with people. Well, let's put a name. Let's say Chop Robinson is pick 23. So if you're comparing J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix, you're really not. If I have to trade all the way up to get J.J. McCarthy, and I have to trade part of that package is Chop Robinson, I'd rather have Michael Penix and Chop Robinson than J.J. McCarthy. So that's part of that calculus and why I think Minnesota might hold their water.
Are you, and I'm curious about this, that you want kind of chaos because you're going to be on the broadcast tonight, but then do you want chaos that disrupts your mock draft?
Once the mock draft show is over at 9 o'clock Eastern last night, I don't give a crud how many of those picks I get right. I mean, come on. It's like I just told you, I just put a player in a mock draft based off talking to a coach on a fishing boat. So, I mean, I'm not going to get too hung up on being right or wrong on those. I want the most entertaining, action-packed first round. I want the surprise at a left field because it is – I mean, I'm fortunate, Dan. You know these guys I get to be with. I mean, when you're with Rich and you're with Charles Davis, who does all the NFL games, you've got Joel Klatt, who's called 16 Michigan games. Like, I'm looking forward to those conversations, and I hope we're surprised as heck when these pick comes in.
The quarterback that might not work out is who?
Well, I've always said I got the opposite question of who do you think is going to be a home run, and my answer is always, well, who does Minnesota get? You know, the situation really matters there. Who might not work out? I would say that the situation I would be worried about most is probably New England if you get rushed onto the field. I know Elliott Wolf got upset about that, and he's pushed back and said he thinks they have the infrastructure to support a quarterback. I mean, I was there calling the Charger game last year, Dan, and they didn't score a point, so maybe I'm jaded on that one. They've got some work to do.
Yeah, I wonder what comes first, you know, the quarterback or the team. And I don't know if New England learned from Mac Jones, we got to have a team before we send Drake May out there. Because then Drake May, and you know, confidence plays such an important role at that position. And Mac Jones's confidence was shot. So that's where I'm wondering, do you just trade down and try to, you know, let's get some pieces here that can make you full, not Drake May go out. Drake May's not going to go out there and win games on his own right away. You know, Caleb can, I guess Jaden Daniels can, but I don't know if any of these other quarterbacks you're going to say, go out there. Hey, make some magic here. What do you think of that logic for New England?
Yeah, two thoughts. One, if I'm Drake May and I get selected three by the New England Patriots, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to send Jacoby Brissett $5,000 worth of spa treatments and say, stay stretched out. I want you to stay nice and limber. We got to get you through this season before we can get some more help. Then I can go play. That's the first thing I'm doing. The second thing I was thinking of is that conversation that you just had, or that thought you just had. Do you think that Kevin O'Connell, who was teammates with Gerard Mayo, is he not calling Gerard Mayo and saying, Gerard, your team's not ready for a quarterback? Come on, man. I've got all these picks. You come back here, you build up your team, and then I go up and get my quarterback.
Good call. If Andrew Luck, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, and Caleb Williams were all available tonight.
Oh, Andrew Luck would be one for me. That's as good a grade as I've ever given a quarterback.
Okay.
Joe Burrow would be two. Then you said Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and then Caleb.
Trevor Lawrence and then Caleb would be in that order for me. And I like, and I, these are, I mean, not like Caleb's my top player in the draft. I love him, but stacked in that company, he'd be the last one.
Yeah, but Caleb's supposed to be generational.
I hate that word, by the way. Can we retire that?
Hey, I'm just mocking what the mock draft guys are telling. The analysts are all telling me all these things. He's generational. He's the next Patrick Mahomes.
I need to preface this by saying we have great editors, and I love ours. But if that maybe is in a report that I have, but I can guarantee you it was not that I wrote it. I probably wrote something that wasn't very flowery and didn't sound good, and that got edited in. But I do not enjoy that word.
Okay, when's the last time you didn't like a quarterback, but he worked out?
Where I didn't like a quarterback and he worked out. That's a great question. Well, I mean, the guy in San Francisco turned out all right. Turns out maybe I was wrong on Brock Purdy, as was the rest of the world. But that's one where I remember literally, you know, you get calls from agents all the time. And I mean, I should probably send an apology because I don't even remember who it was. But I do remember at one point in time getting a call saying, hey, I think I can get this quarterback from Iowa State. And I'm like, I mean, go ahead. But he's going to be practice squad, you know. Maybe drafted late, probably a priority free agent. You know, you probably can go, you know, hunt some other guys.
Yeah, but Daniel,
I probably cost that agent a lot of money on that second contract, you think?
But let's be fair. If Brock Purdy played on Carolina.
It looks different.
He's not Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Well, that's my whole point when we were talking about earlier, because people ask you before the draft, which one of these quarterbacks is going to hit big? And it'd be like in the past, like, well, which one gets to go play for Andy Reid? And then which one gets to go to Minnesota with all their weapons and Kevin O'Connell calling plays and a really good offensive line and a premier left tackle and a good tight end? Like, the situation, I don't know that it gets enough attention. And I know I get pushback saying, oh, that's a cop-out. That's an excuse for you to make if you like the player and he didn't pan out. And I'm like, I don't know how you divorce yourself from that, though. I mean, how many of these guys are truly – on a level where they transform their environment. Like, that's just, those are so, so few and far between.
Well, even Mahomes, I've said this, and my audience probably hates hearing it, but if you put him on Carolina, he's not Patrick Mahomes. He's probably a great curiosity. And we go, boy, if they ever surround him with talent, it's, you have to have you know, your offensive coordinator has been there a while and your head coach has been there for a while. You have an offensive line, maybe a weapon or two. I mean, there's really a blueprint for success for these quarterbacks. It's rare, you know, David Klingler, go in there, make some magic there, David, or Tim Couch, go in there. Had they gone elsewhere, maybe they could have been successful. You know, David Carr, he's as talented as anybody I've seen in a long time. I mean, his confidence was gone. You know, Tua goes to a situation where you got a brilliant offensive-minded head coach and two of the fastest receivers in the game. You know, you could, if I put Tua in Carolina, he's not doing anything like this.
Well, think about this. I mean, and you've seen the numbers that just came in on the two guys that Detroit Lions just re-signed in St. Brown and Sewell. Now, the next one they're going to do is going to be Jared Goff, and it's going to be a massive, massive number with where he is. Think about Jared Goff if Sean McVay never gets to L.A. Like, think about where that was trending for his career and how much that change that as still a young guy, but he was getting ready to be tossed aside. And he cranks back up his career to the point where he might end up being, if not the top, he's going to be like a top three paid quarterback in the NFL before too long.
Would you pay him that kind of money?
I think right now you're in your window, and I think you don't, and he's in his prime and he's played well enough. Yeah, I think the way they've constructed their team, I think I would. I know this works. He fits in it. And maybe the best move of the offseason is and not going to be talked about, but when Ben Johnson orchestrates that offense and then somehow they kept him, you know? So that was an incredible coup for them.
What's the most radical rumor you've heard so far?
Well, I tweeted it out a little bit ago, and it's so complicated, Dan, that I'm gonna actually have to pull it back up and read my own tweet because there's no way I could remember it.
So this is a rumor. This is not a report. Rumor. Just let everybody know.
This was. So here it goes.
All right.
Minnesota gets up to 3 with New England. So the 11th pick goes to New England. Right after that, New England takes the same 11th pick, and they come up to 4 with Arizona. Right after that, Arizona, who now owns the 11th pick, comes up to 5 with the Chargers. So to summarize, 3 Minnesota, they get Drake May. 4 New England, they end up just ultimately going back one spot, and they get J.J. McCarthy, plus they'll end up with an extra pick, right? 5 Arizona, they've now still just dropped back one spot. They get the same guy that they would take in Marvin Harrison Jr. They get maybe a little extra pick there. And then the Chargers have made the move from 5 all the way down to 11, which would be a nice haul for them. They would be the one who ended up with the majority of the Vikings picks. But everybody kind of gets what they want, and then they get a little bit plus who they were going to take there. So it's a lot to take in, but that was presented to me this morning, and I had to write it down and stare at it for about 5 minutes before it sunk in.
Okay. Your pick for the Chargers got my attention because you're an analyst for the Chargers, and aside from being with the NFL Network, you know Harbaugh with how he builds a team. Does Harbaugh truly go offensive line? Is that the right pick for the Chargers?
Well, you know, I did a couple trades in there. I didn't want to do a million trades in a mock draft because it just kind of gets all messy. So I was connecting them with Latham. I think that would be the ideal move if they got back to 11. They go from 5 to 11. That's the fit. But look, there's a chance they can't get out and they're stuck there. And so this is not based off of talking to Joe Ortiz. It's just based off of looking at the situation and saying Latham, he's played right tackle. He's a big, powerful guy. He's young. Harbaugh recruited him, so he's familiar with him. Joe Ortiz, who's with the Ravens for 25 years, and when you're with Ozzie Newsome for 25 years, you become very invested, even as an Auburn graduate and Alabama football players. He has a close relationship with Nick Saban. He'll have all the information.
But didn't you used to work for the Ravens as well there?
I did. Okay. I did, yeah. Okay. But I got literally I got a text from Ortiz this morning, which is the first communication we've had in 2 weeks, because I've learned a lot over the years doing this job, Dan, that your friends, they just don't want to lie to you, so they just ignore you for 2 weeks. So, but that, you know, that to me, it feels like when Harbaugh, and this is, again, this is just a theory. This is not based off the conversation. Okay. Remember when Harbaugh got to Stanford, think about the landscape of the Pac-12 at that time. Oregon was humming, high flying. SC was rolling. High-flying teams. Now he comes into a division with the Kansas City Chiefs. He didn't go to Stanford and say, I'm going to get all this speed and I'm going to compete in this track meet. He went out and signed every offensive lineman and tight end he could find and ran the ball down their throats. And so that's the formula that I'm using for this pick to justify why they would take Latham.
Do the Rams draft Matthew Stafford's successor?
That rumor's been flown around, and everybody's, I don't know if it's out there, but everybody in the league is talking about the fact that, you know, Les Snead was college roommates with Bo Nix's dad. So that's the connection that's been made there. And then I find out, well, they haven't really done a ton of work on Bo Nix. And I told that to a team. I said, they're not going to take Bo Nix. They really haven't done much work on him. And they go, you don't need to do work on him. He was roommates with his dad. You think he doesn't know this kid? And I'm like, this is so much garbage floating around here. I think they're going to try and get somebody to help Stafford, not replace him.
Great to talk to you. Have fun tonight.
Thanks, buddy. I need my Dan Patrick text tonight. So you're always the best.
I'll text you, but I'll make sure that you're not on the air. I'll do it during a commercial break.
Okay, you're the best, buddy.
All right, buddy, thank you. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, Chargers radio analyst, host of Moving the Sticks podcast. He'll be right next to Rich Eisen and company, Charles Davis. That'll be coming up tonight. NFL Network giving you their coverage.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From the versatile EQB to the sublime EQS sedan, Mercedes-Benz makes electric extraordinary. The vehicle's all electric. The feeling is all Mercedes. The choice is yours. Learn more. MBUSA.com/EQ.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I didn't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.